Thank you all for being here tonight. I know you could be someplace else and at a party somewhere. And since there's the party's not here, although I think the Lord gave us a party there in worship. I want to take a few moments. Can you start? Yeah, you got to start the clock. Great. I want to talk about kind of what the Lord's put on my heart this year. That's what we do at this time. And I thank you all for coming. Even though there's no food, there's no games, there's nothing else, there's just God and His Word, and I think that's enough, right? Amen. I started thinking and meditating back on this year, 2020. Wow, what a year, huh? 2020, what a year. But you know what? We made it. We made it through the year. We made it through all sorts of junk, all sorts of problems, all sorts of unprecedented things that had never happened before. They all seem to come in waves at us this year, but we made it. I think we made it three ways. We made it naturally. We had a lot of economic hardships and closures and unrest and so many things happening, but we made it. We had to get creative. We had to get creative about how to do church differently. About how to wear a mask when you didn't want to wear one. About how to sit away from people when you wanted to be close. We had to do things with attendance, masks, social distancing, online presence. Thank God for that. Worship, church life, drive-thru nativity. Everything was different. But allow us to be creative and allow the Lord to move upon us and show us how can we do and still touch and help people. And I thank all of you because it's your fortitude and patience that has helped us get to even this point as we look to some better things, if you will, in the future. You've helped us endure. Secondly, I think we've made it spiritually. I think the 2020 vision, I honestly loved the message. Pastor Joe, where are you? The message on Sunday was absolutely fantastic. I hadn't even thought of it in all of those terms that the Lord gave us a vision. The 2020 vision, and we were doing things and we were giving beyond what was natural with all of this chaos and economic calamity and unrest and uncertainty. And well, we don't know for sure. People were giving and we had a vision. We had a goal. We believed for something. And then all of a sudden we saw God do it in our lives. And then we saw all these 2020 blessings that came. 2020 blessing, 2020 blessing. I can't tell you how many 2020 blessings people talk to me about is, wow, 2020 blessing, 2020 blessing. I got this, I got this. I threw this in. It was all for free. 2020 blessing. I mean, just, hey, I got a car for half price. 2020 blessing. I mean, it was just all of these things that God was saying, hey, I got you. I got you covered. I'm just so thankful that He gave us a vision to move forward instead of going, oh, well, when it's really easy, then I want you to do this. But if it's really hard, oh, don't do it. Instead, it was, wow, He grew us. He did stuff inside of us. He changed us. We realized we can do things even when it's not easy to do them. Because we have a God who lives inside of us. Many, 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 many blessings from this faith-filled stewardship adventure that God grew us in. There was a quote, I'm going to skip that one. Number three. He made us naturally. We made it naturally. We made it spiritually. We made it financially. We made it for the year. Can you believe that? We made it for the year. Now that's miraculous. We made it for the year in spite of a 2020 campaign that was going on as well that we are almost finished with. Tom will give us a report at the end here. We're almost finished with that. We did that and that at the same. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to give, we're going to move forward, we're going to do church differently, we're going to do all that, and we're going to give, we're going to do all that, and then we're going to do all of our regular giving as well and go way above beyond that and retire this debt. My gosh, it was miracle after miracle. I mean, it wasn't just easy. But you guys did it. You guys did it. Thank you. Thank you for what you did. It was a miracle. It was because of your faithfulness we got to this point. I'm blown away. I'm just blown away. We made it in this crazy year in 2020 because of people like you. Because of your faithfulness. And Pastor Carrie and myself, we want to thank you for loving Jesus. We want to thank you for loving the Word of God, for loving the world, for loving this church, and for loving us. And for being willing to follow us. Okay, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to 2020 vision. Oh, it sounds really good to go. Okay, now the world's falling apart. It's going to in a handbasket. And it's not, this isn't good. This isn't good. This isn't good. But they keep moving us in this direction. I think they're stupid. I thought I was stupid too. Well, believe me, many times. But somehow God did it. And you followed Him. Just thankful. We're blessed. We have the greatest people on the face of this earth, in this building, in this church. And we are most blessed to be your pastors and privileged. So that was 2020. So here comes 2021. It's all going to be wonderful. No, I'm not saying that. I want to give a couple of thoughts. First of all, 2021, that's our church's 50th year, right, in existence, our year of Jubilee. We sang about it. We sang about that year of Jubilee, that year when all debts are canceled, when everybody goes free, when there's a sense of no restraints, nothing holding us prisoner, no chains, no shackles, nothing but just absolute freedom to do, to be, to dream, to accomplish. We have this aspect in 2021 that I believe God's giving us where everything is open and everything is exciting. Secondly, it's our church's Jubilee. I'm going to talk a lot more about that in some messages coming up. I'll talk a lot more about all this message here that I'm going to be going through here and messages coming up, but I just wanted to give you kind of an overview. So 2021 is our year of Jubilee, but 2021, our world has changed. Our world has changed. It's been changing. It changed drastically in this last year. And it's not just changing for the better, at least spiritually changing for the better. I think it's changing in a very, very interesting way. It's creating a climate where the things that were taken for granted, at least spiritually or in the church, are going to be a little more difficult. I think I started thinking about this, and I think we're living in a climate, I think a spiritual climate that's difficult, right? A spiritual climate, let me say this, that's tough. A spiritual climate that's tough. And I think that we faced this spiritual climate 2,450 years ago. As I was reading through Malachi, I was just smitten or taken by the fact that some of this is very similar to where we are right now. Some of this is very similar. Malachi is a book about the people not feeling the love of God. They didn't feel that God loved them. Now, as a result, or I like to think the cause of this not feeling the love is because they left God. They wandered away, just like I've been talking about for weeks and weeks and months about how we as a nation has wandered away from God. They as a nation had wandered away from God. They had restored the temple. The temple had been back. It's built. It's been 100 years now, and things weren't kind of as great as they thought it was all going to be. And now everything started to degenerate some. The priesthood, the priests weren't standing up for the things of God. We had people not taking a stand, and the priesthood, the people who were the priests were supposed to be teaching the people. They weren't. People were bringing sacrifices that were lame and blind and wasn't their best. They didn't care. They were just kind of going through the motion. And God got relegated to something as like a duty. He became a duty or a thing that they had to do, that they quickly dealt with and then went on with life. The whole idea of worship, bringing a sacrifice and all of that, is they brought everything that was terrible, lame, blind, all that, because it was a thing to do. Just get it done. Let's go on so we can go on with our life. It was about duty, a thing. It wasn't about relationship and the Almighty God. And I think that that's a danger in our church today. That our religion becomes a duty. Yeah, we'll watch online, and praise God for all those that are watching online, because for a lot of us, that's the only way we can come right now. But what will happen as we go down the line? Will it be a church of convenience or a church of conviction? What will we do? What will we do? Will it be a duty? We check it off. It's easy. I can just check it off. I've done it. Great. Bye. Move on with my life the rest of the week. Come back. Oh, check it off. Whether you're here or not here and watching, it doesn't matter. We can do a checkoff list whether we're here in person or maybe watching online. It can still just be a thing that we do, a duty, a chore. It's a chore. Going to church becomes a chore. Worshiping God becomes a chore. Reading our Bible becomes a chore. Spiritual things become a chore. And a chore, like emptying the garbage in your house. Nobody likes to go and empty all the garbages. We just empty the garbage. It's a thing that we have to do. No one looks forward to it. Whoa! I get to empty the garbage today! Nobody does that. Nobody gets excited about emptying the garbage. The kids don't want to do it. Hey, go empty the garbage, and they say, and it never gets done. It's something that you do. You hurry up so you can get over it, so you can get back to doing that which you enjoy doing. And that's the danger I'm seeing, that we can easily fall into. And I think as a nation, we have. We've got a duty, but we did it. Now I can get on with my life. Wait a second. Jesus Christ is the source of your life. Not the thing you take care of and then get on with your life. He is your life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll tell you what happened here. Because follow me through on this. Because there was something that happened to them. No one was looking forward to worshiping God. They were just going through the motions, using the sick and lame sheep, or they were just offering them up, and thus they became a very cynical people. They became very, very cynical. As a matter of fact, in one spot, I read one commentator that was saying they were bringing all these defective sheep and everything, and basically what God was saying is, hey, I would rather you just stay away and not worship than worship like you are. I would rather you just stop it, don't worship, then come and worship like this. We are thinking, oh no, I got it in. He's going, hey, just stay. Just, if it's that, if getting life is so important for you, just don't take out the garbage. Just get about your business. It wasn't something that was special, something that we take time out of our life, because it is our life that we look forward to. It's very interesting as I was reading it. Cynicism. The word cynicism means an inclination to believe that people are motivated purely by, say it with me, self-interest. I only care about me. How does this affect me? What do I get out of this? It was about me. 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 There was a school of ancient Greek philosophers called the Cynics. That's what they've studied. The word cynical, I know we say that word, you're being cynical. Here's what it means. Believing that people are motivated by self-interest, distrustful of human sincerity or integrity, concerned only with one's own interests, and typically disregarding accepted or appropriate standards in order to achieve them. Disregarding accepted or appropriate standards in order to achieve them. I'm just after myself, and I'm not going to do it the way God wants it. I'm just going to kind of give it the way I want to. It's interesting. You go through this thing. You know, we talked about tithing earlier in this chapter, just right above that, and people are doing it however they wanted to. Well, I'll do however I want to. And God finally says, hey, you're robbing me. And then he talks about the blessing of giving. The nation that was to be devoted to the Lord, this Hebrew nation that was to be devoted to the Lord, was instead devoted to self during this time of Malachi. It sounds like the United States today to me. Let me read some of the scriptures. Malachi 3, 13 through 18. Now, in Malachi, what I love about Malachi, and I did this in my commentary, I write back and forth about God said, and then the people said, and God said, and the people said. They go back and forth quite a few times in this dialogue, in these four chapters, and I think it's actually kind of cool. But here God says, you have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. He's talking to the people. Okay, now these are the people that are supposed to serve the Lord, and here's what God's saying. You have said terrible things about me. What? This is the one we're supposed to love, to serve, to bow down before, that we honor, that we reverence. And he's saying, you've said terrible things about me. Oh, he demands too much. I don't like the old man. Blah, 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 blah. You said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? Verse 14. You have said this. Here's what you've said. You said these things that are hurting me, and here's what it is. You have said, what is the use of serving God? What is the use of serving God? Why are we doing this? We have gotten so lackadaisical, we just bring the worst thing anyway because we wanted to get rid of it and sacrifice it anyway because it was worthless. What's the use of serving God? And look at this next one. Remember about cynicism, self-interest? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of Heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? What have we gained? What is in it for me, God? When I come to worship and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm trying to live right, what is in it for me? I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. I'm not on the top 100 richest people in the world. Hey, what's in it for me? And I'm worried that we are on the brink of more and more of this. We have people now that grow up and they don't even believe the Bible. They believe God, but they don't even believe what the words say in the Bible. They don't care. We're going to be starting also this next year. I'm going to go through some things in the Bible about, hey, what does God say about that? Not what are the talking heads or your friends. What have we gained? Their answer, nothing. What have we gained by serving you? How has it made my flesh feel better? It hasn't. From now on, so here's what we're going to do. From now on, here's what we're doing. We will call the arrogant blessed. We'll call those arrogant people, those rich snobs out there, we're going to call them blessed. Are those who do evil get, what does it say? I'm sorry, guys, I got circles around it. I can't read the word. Call the arrogant blessed. And then it says, thank you. Yes, I have the or because the four got, never mind. Anyway, you could see it right here. It's very simple right here. It's, if you knew, my bad. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Gosh, I see that today. People are doing, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. God, why is this all happening? Why did they get a, why? And now we call them, hey, good job. Hey, you got a bunch of wealth. You're doing good. You're doing good. Then those who feared the Lord, I love this part. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. Now, I think there's a very important thing right here. Those who fear the Lord, these are the people who are dedicated to the Lord. They aren't the ones who were making all these complaints. They are the ones tight with God. They were believing, hey, the Lord is here. Lord, we want to serve you. We're serving you not for what we get. We're serving you for what we can give you. We're serving you for you, not for what you can give back to us. We're serving you for who you are. Those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. They spoke with each other. They spoke with each other. This is so important because it's what we're losing today in our church setting because of all the shutdowns. We need to break silence with one another. We need to encourage one another. That's what's so damaging with COVID. Small groups and sharing are critical, and they kind of go on by the wayside. We need to be sharing. We need to be talking. We need to be rubbing shoulders with one another. What did you think about that? I'm kind of down about, and we get down and we just keep going down. But if you're around a brother and you're kind of getting down, the other brother's going, hey, I'm pulling you out of that, man. That's wrong thinking. You shouldn't be thinking like that. And the Lord listened to what they said. And the Lord listened to what they said. I don't think he listened much to the complainers, but he did listen to those who were faithful. To what they said in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. Feared him and honored him. I don't know if it's a literal book or not or what, or if he's how he records it or what, but there's something that he's keeping track. Oh, gosh, I love it. You're my faithful one. You honor. I'm keeping track of that. But, Lord, it doesn't look like it because we don't have a rich mansion. We don't have. No, I'm keeping track of it. I got it. God says that the people who serve him and honor him will be remembered. It's not useless like everybody else said. There was to be written a scroll of remembrance for them. Verse 17, they will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies, on that day when I act in judgment, on that day when I act in, say it with me, on that day when I act in, judgment is coming, folks. On that day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. On that day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. I believe that judgment is coming. At some point, it's going to come. It's in here. It happens. When? I don't know exactly, but it's on its way. And there are probably degrees and dispersions of judgment that happen. But if we're not following God as a nation like we did when we started, I don't think God's going to let us get away with that forever. But he says, those who gather and talk to me, they're my special treasure. They're my special treasure. I think the main point of Malachi here is getting back to doing what God wants us to do. He was trying to get the people back to doing what they should be doing, honoring him, loving him, worshiping him. I think they were after what does God say to do, not what do the talking heads say to do, not what does your friend say to do, not what do you say to do, but what does he say to do. I think it's going to be very important in these times. Being tight with God and knowing his word and knowing what he's saying when things just don't look right. We must not be cynical, selfish. Instead, we need to be sincere, God honoring and God worshiping. I have 4 minutes left, and let me give you my final thoughts. We need to know what God wants us to do. I think that's important. And we get that by, I put four things in here. You all know them. But I believe God is trying to put some exclamation points behind some things in our daily routines. Number one, and these words are chosen carefully by my secretary. The first word on each of these. Deliberately. Deliberately reading the word. Deliberately. On purpose, it means. With clear intent. With careful thought or consideration. In a calm and unhurried way. Deliberately reading the word. Secondly, actively listening to his voice. Lord, speak to me. Holy Spirit. I always love it when Steve prophesies whatever. He's always saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit. He's always talking to the Holy Spirit. I think we need to be actively listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Do you ask him, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, say something to me. Holy Spirit, make it very clear what you're saying. Thirdly, faithfully praying. Faithfully praying, utilizing the Holy Spirit that is in you, being led by the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. I think there's a time when we need to really get serious about our prayer time. We need to get serious. I will confess, prayer is not my number one gifting. But I think we need to get really serious about our prayer through the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. Pray, let the Holy Spirit. And in that prayer, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, I believe also that evangelism is going to be the outflow of all of that as well. He's going to tell you, talk to that person. Say that over there. Move over here. If we start listening to him, he's going to start trying to get people saved like we want, right? We got to listen to him. We got to listen to him. We got to be praying and then be willing to do what the Holy Spirit says. And fourthly, and that's why I loved what we did in worship, continually worshiping. If you could look here what God was bummed about, this is worship. This is, you bring a lame duck in here? A lame sheep? You didn't want it anyway? It was about ready to die? Oh, I want to give it to you, Lord. That's worship. You know, I think our whole and every existence is supposed to be an act of worship unto the Lord. What we say, what we do, what we think, how we communicate, how we talk, what we care about, who we witness to, what we say, how we say it, all an act of worship. All an act of, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I would really rather scream at that person, but I'm not, because I'm going to worship you. And not always do I worship him. I'm just, what he was after in Malachi was the whole concept of worship, robbing me. You rob me with your tithes. You don't, where am I in all of your life? Where am I? Am I in the middle of the list, bottom of the list? Did I make the top one third of the list? Or is it the top of every list? Please, I don't want to, I'm not trying to say all this as a downer at all, so please receive this, that God was bummed. He was just bummed at the way they were worshiping, but then he said, but if you get together and you talk to me and you, I'm going to do some things, but you're my special treasure. I'm going to take you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to hold And I think we need time to do all these consistently. We need to make sure that a quiet time is a thing that we do. Whether it's in your car and you're listening to the tape or the app or whatever, or however you do it, I'm just make it a priority. Make it a priority. Let me conclude with this. We said put the Bible in a mix in 21:6, anchored to heaven in 21:7, investigate in 21:8, take time for the divine in 21:9, see Jesus in me in 20:20. I feel in this one, and I'll try to explain it and maybe explain it more as we go through, all for one in 20:21. All for one. I think there's two aspects. The three musketeers used to, all for one and one for all, right? All for one. We are all one. We all need each other. We all can accomplish a lot when we are one. That there may be no divisions among you. There's a whole lot of scriptures about this idea of being one. But also, all of me for one. I have one direction, one vision, one passion, one heartache, one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, 2021, whew. We look back at 2020 and realize, wow, you did a lot. You didn't just throw us into a cauldron, but Lord God, you moved and you helped us and you grew us and you did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle for us. Oh God, I don't know all of what 2021 has in store for us, but I believe we are to be one as a body together as we go after you and each person dedicating their oneness to you. You are the one we care about. So, Father, help us. When it's easy and we're excited, amen, pour the excitement on. When it's tough, help us, Lord, to realize that that sacrifice even means more to you. We love you. We bless you, Lord. And we look forward to everything you're going to do in 2021. Let's all give him a big kiss. 1, 2, 3. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody.